Home Slice Audio.
I wish we were videotaping this particular episode.
Hey, everybody. Hey, I should sing it from now on.
Go back
I should
to the
sing
old
it.
Way if that's how you're going to do it.
Do you guys want me to do that?
No.
I'll sing.
I think I speak for everybody in attendance when I say,
All right, fine. I just want to try new things, all right? Because that's what we're doing today. We're trying new things. So, really? You just want me to stop that? Okay. A little heavy-handed to get things started here, I guess. It's Rob and Mark. It's Whiskey at Work. We brought up our esteemed whiskey professionals for this episode. That was a lie. That was a total lie. But I just want to make you guys feel good, I guess.
Not on time, however. I just got really tingly.
No kidding. That's all right.
We were kind of hoping to be home by now, and you guys just showed up.
Empty-handed, I might add, too. Dan Bruner from Timmins Market. Gabe Aldridge from the United States Air Force. They're both they're both here joining us today, and they came up, well, your request, I'm assuming. You're the one that invited him up here.
Well, so Bruner and I had an exchange when the batch 3 came out, and he said he wanted to do a side by side, and I said, "Well, you should come up and we should do it on the air."
I see, got it. Okay. And I noticed he made us bring our bottles in to do this. Well, smart move on your part, though, Dan, really.
I owned them once.
Yeah, at one point true. They were his.
That's true. Good point. That's fair. Gabe, no, seriously, you don't think you've ever had any of these?
I may have, at one point, had the batch 2.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Okay, very good.
Seems to be a theme with me lately. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So well, that's what we wanted.
Well, I finished off the bottle at Whiskey Fest this year.
Good Lord.
It was just sitting there.
It was fast.
So I just like, well, night's over.
We want to talk about this here in the second half. We have all three expressions now of the Jack 10. We have the 1, 2, 3, because the third just came out.
Weeks ago. That was a couple weeks.
Now, why do we get it later than other places? Why does it seem like I saw a lot of people that had it before it was out here in South Dakota. Is there a reason for that?
I think just logistics.
Is that all it is?
You know, they're not just going to bring a couple cases of 10 and 12 year up. So it's waiting for the next shipment of Jack Daniel's products to come up to the state.
I see.
Well, and then it all gets distributed out of Sioux Falls,
yep,
I think.
So correct.
It makes its pit stop there, and the collectors take all the stuff that they want.
That's frustrating.
And then they give us the rent, and that's not true.
But, no, well, it kind of is, I think. The East River collectors, West River drinkers.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we're calling ourselves at this point right now? So, yeah, we want to compare.
We're the John Daly's of the Tiger Woods.
I don't like that comparison. We need to think of something else. I don't like we're John Daly.
Justin looks
for
a little
God's
like
sake.
John
well,
Daly.
Justin looks a little like John Daly, but the rest of us are look at the four of us. Do any of us look like we could be John Daly?
Well,
no,
you do a little. Just wearing a t-shirt. And
I'm talking about his weight, Rob.
The rest of us are kind of dressed up, sort of.
Well, look at Gabe's wearing it.
Yeah, but he's
what is that?
He's well coiffed.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true. God, you have like fashion sense and whatnot. It's terrible. Don't come in here all fashionably dressed from now on, Gabe. That's awful.
Sorry, I'll be less of a quaff.
Please. All right, so we want to do that here coming up in a little bit. But now that I've got some semi-experts in the room right now, I was looking today, and I had seen this a couple of times, and you had mentioned that in Whiskey Fest a couple of years ago, we had a bottle of this. But I couldn't for the life of me remember what it was. And I'm talking about this Orphan, what do they call it? They call it the Orphan Barrel series from Diageo, which the concept of it's kind of unique, I think. But then talking to you a little bit, Gabe, about how this all comes about, I'm starting to think that it's just marketing. Is that what it is? Don't break my heart that way.
I mean,
this is cool.
Everything is just a little bit of marketing.
Yeah, I know. That's fair.
However, some marketing comes from truth.
Okay.
So in this case, I do honestly believe they started with trying to fine barrels that people or distilleries had kind of put off to the side, were kind of unwanted because it didn't fit the distillery profile. You see a lot of that from independent bottlers in the Scotch world. Most IBs, independent bottlers, will take things that don't fit into the portfolio of what they are trying to release. And that's how you end up with independent bottles. So that's kind of what Orphan Barrel does. They also go sometimes a step further and find things from closed distilleries or things not being released anymore, i.e. Muckety Muck 26 was a 26-year-old single grain from Port Dundas, which no longer produces grain. So
why would any distillery make stuff that's not going to be part of their portfolio? Don't they know going in what they're making? Why would they have stuff that like, well, I don't know if we're using any of these barrels. Let's just put them all the way in the back of the warehouse. I mean, that sounds wasteful. Kind of stupid.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, the only thing I can think of is that they, you know, just ceased operations, and rather than investing in more bottling line runs or even bottles and labels, et cetera, it was easier to just either mothball or sell off that existing inventory. And so that was part of their exit strategy. The company was done, but they still had product in barrels. So they just sold it off or warehoused it somewhere, hoping to find a buyer down the road.
Oh, I suppose that makes sense.
Well, a lot of the times, too, and this is particular to Muckety Muck's case, you got to look at what the core distillate was used for. So the single grain, Diageo is a blending house.
Right.
Right? They're blenders. They make a ton of blended scotch. And Port Dundas was a major component back in the day of the grain portion of what would go into blends, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes they just had filler or barrels that they weren't comfortable sending into that blend that they would set aside to be bottled and found by someone else later to be bottled as a single cask independent bottler.
Okay.
So you also have cases like that.
Are there legitimate places, though, that this series that they've gone out and stumbled across, like a rickhouse or a warehouse, and are like, well, those are bottles of whiskey, or those are barrels of whiskey?
Yeah, for I mean, you would have to go back into the archives. I mean, some of the most famous bottlings they've done have been the Barter House and Rhetoric series.
Why are they famous?
Oh, they were delicious.
Just because of how good they were?
They were delicious and cheap for when they came out, and no one really kind of took notice of them right away. But then once word got out and bottles started disappearing, that's when everyone really started wanting them, and now you can't find them. But I think in those cases, those were legitimate barrels that maybe someone had put aside and forgotten about.
Okay.
Or at least that's how the marketing goes. But I wouldn't be able to say for sure if that's 100% accurate.
And Dan, you've said you've had barrels or bottles of this. We've occasionally gotten some of this Orphan series.
Yeah, I know that we had one of the Rhetorics in, I want to say either 2018 or 19. I don't remember the exact year. And then we've had like the Forage and Folly, Castle's Curse we had last year.
Which Castle's Curse was a single malt from Tiniac Distillery.
From where? From Ireland?
No, Scotch. It's a single malt Scotch.
Single malt Scotch. Okay. Yep, so they'll look. I mean, they're not just looking for whiskeys in America. They're looking. They're going everywhere they can find this stuff to bottle. Well, at some point, this is going to run out, isn't it? I mean, it's got to be a very finite supply.
Yeah, that's kind of their whole shtick, is that once it's gone, it's gone. So like even the Rhetoric, they released a few years and then it was gone. So like that lot of barrels, they set it aside and said, we're going to make 24, 25, 26, whatever the age statement series would have been on that. And then once that was done, Rhetoric won't be out again.
It's just gone. You'll never get to taste it.
Again, to be clear, Rhetoric was not a Scotch. I think it was a wheat whiskey or whatever Bernheim is, which I believe is a wheat whiskey.
So,
it's not just Scotch they do. They have done bourbons. They have done wheat whiskeys. They have done grains. So they're very diverse in what they choose to put out.
I suppose it's a matter of whatever they can find wherever they're looking. You know, I mean, it isn't like you can put out a Scotch every year, because you might not, if that's their deal, you might not be able to find it.
So,
maybe they buy it and have deemed that it wasn't ready to be released yet. You know, I mean,
that's kind of the way when I'm thinking about this, I'm like, well, these barrels probably weren't what any distillery, aside from the ones that maybe had shut down and they had the product and didn't know what to do with it. you would think they would have just like, well, we're done, dump it out. I mean, we're not just going to leave it sitting here, right, for whatever reason. But then the rest of it, I think, well, it, whoever distilled it probably didn't think it was very good. So it just all gets pushed back to the back of the warehouse. And now Diageo, going back to my original question, hey, this is, we'll do something really cool with marketing here and bottle this stuff. And
yeah.
And but is it good?
Well, here's the thing. Sometimes you also have to look at the context about why a distillery was mothballed. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not because it was necessarily bad, but it's because at the time the whiskey market just wasn't what it was. For example, Glendronic, right? Glendronic is a very famous single malt scotch, similar to Macallan. I mean, you guys have had mm-hmm. it. Glendronic 18.
Yeah, it's very
amazing
good
stuff, right? Well, that distillery was mothballed in 1996. And it didn't reopen again until 2002 when a awesome Scotch guy named Billy Walker took it over. And he recasked everything, took all the distillate, put it in new cask, revitalized it with sherry, and boom, you have Glendronic, which is now up there with Macallan as one of the finest sherry whiskeys in the world. So, you know, just because a distillery was mothballed or something was set aside, it's not necessarily because it was bad. It's just it wasn't the right time or it wasn't managed the right way.
Right. They didn't have enough money to tell people that it was great or they didn't have the distribution they needed to make it.
I suppose that makes sense.
General public.
And I guess if you've got stuff sitting in barrels for 8, 10, 15, 20 years, probably the last thing you want to do is be like, nah, just crack it open and dump it out. We're done. Right. I mean, you may want to find some use for it at that point. So I think I think it's cool, but at the same time, there's just something about it that doesn't feel right. I don't know what it is.
It's pricey.
Yeah, that's probably
it's
it
too. Pricey.
Although I saw a couple of bottles like the latest release. I don't remember which one they just came out with. Said it was priced at 120 or something like this.
But what was it?
I don't remember what it was.
For example, I mean, you're looking like the Taniak one, if that's how you pronounce it, the Cursed Castle, I think is what it was called. Here's the thing is that was a 13-year-old Taniak from that distillery. I mean, it was expensive for that. It was like 150, I think.
Okay.
You can buy 14, 15, 16-year-olds from that distillery from other independent bottlers like Signatory or Cadenheads for way cheaper.
All right.
And that's the thing is Diageo is very well known for kind of reducing their whiskey down to a lower proof and charging way more than they probably should for it. But they can do that because they're a giant blending house behind Johnny Walker and Talisker and Lagavulin and all these things. They can do it.
Okay. So. Well, I think we've sat here long enough without drinking for sure. But thank you. That was very interesting because I had I'd not known much about it and the little bit of research I got to do today. I think it's like I said, I think it's a cool marketing. I hesitate to use the word gimmick, but it kind of is in a way, I suppose. But as long as it's good, does it matter? I suppose. I don't know.
If you got the money.
Sure. All right. Coming up, we want to drink these bottles of Jack 10. We have now all three expressions of the day. Are they doing a fourth? Do we know? Do we have any idea if they're just going to keep rolling with this?
I would suspect they'll keep going. Yeah, they've found a good thing. I don't know why they would stop now.
But now, what about that 14 that we've supposedly seen? Is that going to be a real thing?
It's on the internet. It's got to be true.
Yeah.
The fair point. The one that I saw advertised on one of these stores was a 15, but no one that I've talked to seems to know anything about
okay.
it actually coming to fruition.
All right, well, let's drink these three coming up, and I'll let you guys tell me which one's the best. All right, we're back, and now it's time to drink, because I made you guys talk for 13 minutes before, and you never got to have it.
You're not, like, leaving early like you did yesterday, right?
Look, yesterday, I did to you what you've done to me so many times.
I don't think that's true. I'm All right. always there later than
so,
you.
So, quick story before we get to taste this. I get a text message from some guys in a band that have played in Sturgis the past couple of years. They're a wonderful group of guys from Canada. They're called the Arcana Kings. Love their music.
They were lovely.
They were so Canadian, they just oozed.
I will admit I was super apprehensive when you said that you need to go have a drink with these guys. And I'm thinking, oh, Christ, they're Houston's friends. I don't know if I can do this.
So I took them down to the Windsor Block downtown, and they were just blown away by the whole thing. They come from Saskatoon. So, but, you know, take that for whatever it's worth. But as we were there, Rob was being very cordial, as Rob can be around people sometimes. And
not all the time.
And then Justin came down, and Justin said, "Hey, would you like to tour the place?" And they got up and toured it. It was lovely. They had a wonderful time. And then
you let them go upstairs.
Yeah.
And they survived.
They did. They got to go upstairs and survive.
They were pretty reserved because they still had to get on the road.
Yeah.
So.
They still had to drive. They had to get back home. But when it was all done, Rob, you said, "Well, I'm going to hang around for a minute because there's some guys down here that are coming down that I want to meet."
Well, I just thought the polite thing to do, since I went down there with you, would be for you to stay around until it was time to leave.
When the guy showed up, I introduced myself to the one guy. I had no idea who these dudes were. And apparently that was the guy you wanted to meet. And did you meet him?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know, because as soon as I introduced myself, I left.
Well, by that time, it was the Brown Foreman rep. State sales guy out here, and I hadn't met him yet, and he left early during the rally last year.
Oh, got it. That's who he was.
So I hadn't talked to him yet, and thought it would be nice if we're going to be working together on different things if we actually knew who each other was. And then he went to Purdue, so he wanted to get back and watch the basketball game last night. And
probably shouldn't have, though.
Sorry, right. Brian. That didn't work out very well for you.
Would have been better just to stay at Windsor. Yeah, and keep
totally would have been.
He might have gone back after that. Painful.
And then about 35 minutes later, I get an angry call from Rob yelling at me for why I didn't stick around longer while he was on his way home. So anyway, that was the story.
I went down there to help you. I thought maybe you'd just be nice enough to hang out. And
I should have. But we learned a lesson, didn't we, Rob?
Yeah, sometimes
I'm not that nice. All right. So here just a couple of weeks ago.
Apparently Mark's got a little Rob in him.
The brand new.
That really didn't come off the way that I thought.
Nope. The brand new 10-year from Jack Daniel's was released here, a couple months ago, but it got into our area here a couple weeks ago, I think. And I know the first time we got to taste, you know, you were stupidly excited when you saw the very first batch one of 10-year. Dan thinks it's great already, you can tell. Sometimes
get a little ahead of ourselves. Didn't even try it.
And I know that of the ones we've had, the batch one and two, and we've had the 12-year batch one, and out of all of those, hands down, I think you included, Dan. I think the first batch 10 was the best. I think we liked that one easily the best out of all of them. So now I'm kind of excited to see how you guys are going to compare all these. Specifically, Gabe, who hasn't had two out of these three expressions right now, who is nose deep in all of these. Well, I appreciate that with Gabe, though, because the reason why I like having Gabe on the podcast is because of his ability to help me learn nosing, tasting notes.
Yeah,
and
I
things
had some
like
pretentiousness
that.
To this stuff. So.
You do a little bit, really, and I appreciate that.
Someone's got to do
right,
it.
Right, exactly.
You know, I'll
I mean, of everybody that we know kind of in this group, I trust you two guys the most to tell me and walk me through some of this. So let's just start with the one that we all love quite a bit. Okay. So on the number one there, Gabe, what are you getting?
So I've actually kind of just took a quick see through of two and three. And I think on number one, I think it's a bit hard to tell exactly what I'm getting on its own. But when you compare to two and three, I do find batch one to be a little bit more light oak and kind of perfuming to me. Like there's a little bit of an acetone note, a little bit of a polishy note to it. And right now, honestly, of the three, I think this is my least favorite.
The one is?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay. Well, go ahead and give it a taste then. I want to know what you think on that. Like I said, as far as they go so far, I got to try the one against the three again. I know the two was the weakest link so far.
I think we're going to find that this is going to greatly depend on what your state of mind is when you
maybe
try these together.
And that's what it is, I think, when you do any sort of tasting with stuff like this. But Dan, do you just kind of contrast or compare what Gabe said on the first one there?
Yeah, I don't get as much of the, like as he described it, acetone. I get a lot of sweetness and a little bit of like a floral note.
Oh yeah, floral.
Like that's... more like clover. Like clover honey.
Now see, I can get a little honey in there, just a little tiny bit of that. I don't get a lot of that nail polishy either that I think Gabe is getting. And again, that could be the, you know, the state of mind, because I know I think that this is the one I already really like. So maybe just subliminally, that's what it's telling me. But what on the taste of that one, Gabe, what do you think?
I taste the age on it. I mean, it's to me, and again, I have not tried batch 2 or 3. This is purely first impressions of batch 1. I think it is very oak forward. I don't get a whole lot of, I don't get really any fruit notes on it. I don't get any lighter citrus elements to it. I get more light, very light cinnamons.
I swear to God, I wish we were videotaping this particular episode.
Let me quickly explain to those of you that are listening. Dan, sitting quietly, sipping his whiskey, enjoying it, decides to quickly reach for a drink, and now it's in his lap.
Tried to see how fast the water could come out of the bottle.
Fast enough.
It was. Man, if all you right. didn't like my notes,
you right.
I said it.
Yeah, he's sorry for the interruption.
No, I taste
carry
is...
on.
Yeah. Is resentment.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, Dan, what do you think?
now that you're thoroughly watered down, Dan, wet. What do you think?
Wet.
The lid is there by your
somewhere over here.
These are the nicest chairs we own, too, Dan. Okay.
If you hadn't shaken that water up since recently when you brought it, wouldn't have been an issue. Yeah, I have no idea.
I don't even know what to say now.
At this point, Dan's just going to sit quietly and drink the rest of the episode, probably.
Oh, because he can't get up.
To me, this isn't as oaky as you claim that it is.
I think, but, to be honest, I think it's a bit, tannic on the back end for me. I don't think I'm the biggest fan of the batch 1.
All right, let's go to 2 then. What did you get on the nose on that one? And how similar are they for you, Gabe?
1 and 2 are completely different for me on the nose. Number 2 is my favorite of the 3. Number 2 is rich, honey, dark, like... This thing is nothing but honey to me. Oak and honey and sweet vanilla. It is popping out of the glass, jumping out. I really like number 2.
It is much sweeter for sure.
Yeah.
Comparing it to the first one.
And the dark elements, the oak elements, they're not tannic to me. They're not kind of dry. They're at least on the nose, it's very brown sugar and toasted to me. I really like the nose on batch 2.
Hmm.
I'm getting some wet denim.
Yeah, now that you mention it.
Is that a tasty first nosy note?
There's a slight funk.
Yeah, a little bit.
I didn't know if I was allowed to say I smelled your wet denim.
Sure, you can. I don't know if we, when we tried these, did we have the 1 and 2 next to each other the first time we did this?
They were mixed up with little stickers on the bottom.
That's right. Yes.
That's right, because we did...
The 2 10s and the 12.
Yep.
That's right.
See, I like having somebody explain it to me a little bit more while I'm drinking this. Because I didn't... It was just the opposite for me the first time I tried the 1 and the 2 from what you described. And again, I don't know if it's just because you're here describing it to me. Mentally, my whole palate has shifted on both of these now. I do taste a sweeter element in 2, most definitely.
Yeah, I just tried 2 back to back with 1, and yeah, 2 is, I think 2 is harder to drink, as in, it's more complex. I think there is more of a heavy spice note. I think the oak is more prevalent. And, you know, batch 1 now, it's tasting light and kind of watery, and there's not much going on for me. I think 2 is definitely my preferred
okay.
so far.
Wow. All right. Then let's hit the 3rd one and see if any of that changes your mind right now. I am so surprised, still being a novice and newbie to all of this, how you can taste the difference in something that is supposed to be the exact same thing, right?
I'm impressed that you can, not that you can't, I mean, you can taste the difference. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed by somebody that can describe the difference.
Right. Totally.
You know, I completely can tell you that, yeah, they taste a little bit different, but I can't do that.
Yeah. We're learning, though. We're getting there, Rob. We're trying.
We're trying.
All right, let's go to three. Gabe, what did you get on that one, then? Dan, can I get you, a blow dryer or a fan? Or are you okay over there for the rest of this?
I'm good. All
right. Oh, Dan. Okay, well, hold on, because I feel like I don't want to persuade you. Okay, so what do you think of two versus one?
One versus two. I like two better.
Two? Okay, for the same kind of reasons, or...?
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, there is something to be said about that bottle being another year older. So it's almost 3 years old now, right?
Mm. Yeah.
There's much less in the bottle, so it's been exposed to a little bit more oxygen.
Yep.
Airflow. So there has been a little bit of change from that perspective.
And batch three is a fresh crack. So, yeah that's going to be
just, you know, even if, like, a week ago.
That's a really, really good point. Because, yeah, the bottle of batch one you brought in had about a fourth of it left.
Yeah, not even.
Not even. Hmm.
In fact, I thought I was going to pour it all out here.
But I can see where that change. But is it that dramatic a change? Because as we all know, once whiskey's in the bottle, it doesn't age anymore. If it's kept in a cool, dry spot, capped, well, it generally age, should be okay.
But it'll oxygenate.
Right.
You know, it's mixing with the air that's now in it.
Yeah.
All right.
And the surface area is obviously bigger since it's at the bottom of the bottle.
Got it. That makes sense. All right. Now let me just give you my take really quick here on three, Gabe. Let me just see how close I am. Now, right away, after having these other two, I got super floral shop aromas on three. Almost like I had walked in and taken that kind of initial whiff of a flower shop. It was really, really floral. Not unpleasant, not super strong, but there. Am I close?
Oh, I'd say spot on. Yeah,
really?
I think number three
is... Oh, look at me.
I think if I had to run through the three of these just on the aroma real quick, and I want to get Dan's take on this too. Number one to me is the lightest. It's definitely the one I don't get a whole lot jumping out of the nose. I would describe it as... light, soft, very light oak, toasted vanilla sugars. Two, I think, is deep, rich brown sugar and honey. Honey, 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 and it jumps out of the glass. Number three, I think, is more pronounced than number one, but it's drier than number two. On the nose, I get more of the spice and the perfumey and the floral notes, whereas number two had the sweeter honey elements. So I think three is starting to transition back to one, but it's cranked up.
It's dialed up to 11.
Boy, that is a fantastic description. It is exactly what you just said. I think because of one and how little you had in it and how it changed a little bit from 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, but three is what one was.
Might be.
Is almost the best way to describe that, with two still being that sweet, almost, well, now I'm sold. Two is my favorite, for sure.
See, I think I would lean towards three.
Three is good. Three is explosive, for sure, but I'd lean towards that sweeter stuff anyway.
Yeah, I think I lean towards three on the palate, for sure. To me, it's very similar, and not to, like, plug or promote bottles that aren't available anymore, but batch two and batch three are very close to, like, our single barrel picks that we did. The Hey JD is closer to three because it was that sweet, just delicious things that you love about Jack Daniels. Whereas the Oak Bomber had much more of that oak influence and some of that tannic. And
so Hey JD is closer to batch two.
I'm saying no, because I think
batch three is sweeter than batch two
on the palate for me.
Interesting.
It is.
Okay.
I see, and I get a little more of that spice that jumps out at me on three.
Yeah, I'm on the palate on this one. I think two is the sweeter of two. That's interesting.
Yeah. They're all...
See, folks, it's all subjective.
It really is, and that's something you and I have preached since we started this whole thing. You know, if you like it, drink it. If you don't, whatever.
If you don't, give it to me.
Well, and to be clear here, I mean, all whiskey notes, like what Dan's able to do, what I can sometimes do, it's all subjective. It's all going off of memory recall, yeah. What have I had before that I can compare this to now. Like, I say it tastes like perfume and flowers. Like, I've never drank a bottle of perfume, right? But I'm saying it tastes like how perfume smells. Yeah. And I don't just mean all the way. I don't mean like, it's just a little
just
bit.
Just a hint of
just
it.
A little bit.
And it all works together, though, because you would think like, oh, I don't want something that tastes like a bottle of perfume. But it's with everything else that you described, too. It's all of those other flavors that it's not a blend, but it still blends to make what mm-hmm. this is. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, that's why Jack Daniel's has such a hit, especially with this 10. We should probably do the 12s at some point, back to back for sure. Do we know if there's a batch 3 of the 12 coming out as well? Maybe next year?
I suspect.
You would think they'd have to.
The 10 was on its own the first year, and then they came out with the 10 and the 12 together last year, and the 10 and the 12 again together this year.
Yeah. Yep.
What is the proof on the Jack Daniel's 10?
This is 97.
Yeah, 97, and then the 12 is 107.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the prices, respectively?
90 and 100-ish.
90 yeah. for the 10-year, usually, yep. retail? Okay.
It, which isn't bad.
Depends on what cashier you get at 10.
You want to tell that story really quick, or you want to let that one slide?
I got a really good deal when I went out there and bought it the first time, and then I noticed while I was there that it was not even close to what it should have been.
Thank you for being honest.
But I wasn't going to tell her that. I did tell her that, but I wanted to walk out of there with the bottles, so I didn't. I just told her, the gal, that I would make it right with Dan, and so I texted him when I got home.
And she is, as he's walking out the door, she was like, "That son of a, he's not coming back."
Well, the funny part is she asked me, she goes, I'm like, that's not right. And she goes, is it too much? I'm like, no.
I watched Dan pucker right there when you said that. Good thing you had the cold water on him at this point.
Yeah, no.
All right, so you're going what, 2-3-1 in your order?
I think my order would be 2-3-1.
Okay. What about you, Dan?
Probably 3-2-1.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with him.
You're doing the 3-2-1?
Yep.
All right, very good.
Well, it might be because I've got more of the three left, so.
So you're gonna say whatever you like the best is the one you have the most.
Drink that one more.
What are you, Mark? Are you?
I'm going 3-1-2.
3-1-2?
Yeah, 3-1-2. The one still. No, I'm sorry. No. 2-3-1. God dang it.
So you're agreeing with me.
Yeah. Yes, I agree with you. Jeepers.
I was like, okay. You've been saying is better.
No. Yeah, 2-3-1. I totally have changed. From the one, but again, that could be because.
And I think Dan might be right. I think the one may have gotten more influence from the air in the bottle.
Sure. Well, thank you guys for coming in and drinking this. Dan, sorry that you're going to leave extremely moist.
Well,
when you walk out.
He would have done that anyway.
It's Dan Bruner from Timmins Market. It's Gabe Aldridge. It's Rob. I am Mark. Thank you very much for listening.
Now we all have to sit here until Dan dries out.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Whiskey at Work. I am the producer and host, Mark Houston, along with Rob Henry. Our shows are engineered by Chris Jaquis, and the video and audio editing is done by our own Russ Haddon. If you like what you hear, we would love a 5-star review wherever you rate your podcast, and leave us a comment as well. It's Whiskey at Work on the Home Slice Audio Network.